Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamei Sadik Tes. We are right on top of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanon, we learned in a Brisa. Here comes something interesting. Yesh Chelitz Limoy. You can have a case where a fellow has to apply Chalitza to his mother, Misafik, due to some sort of confusion. Or even to his sister because of the suffix, or Lubita misafik to his own daughter because of a suffix. Ketzad, how does this work out? Imoy v'ish acharis, v'lehen shenei zicharim. So you start with two couples, a man and a woman had a son, Reuven. This is certainly their son, Reuven. You have the next couple, ish v'isha, who have another son. Their son is Shimon. So the Imoy v'Isha Acheres, Reuven's mother, and the other Isha, v'lehen shnei zecharim, each one with her own son. She has Reuven, she has Shimon. Next. Uba debechaz v'yot shnei zecharim b'machbe. Both of these Nashim, Reuven's mother, Shimon's mother, gave birth to two sons, b'machbe, in concealment, it was dark, The babies were mixed up. So we have two question marks. One boy belongs to this Isha. He's Reuven's brother. One belongs to the other Isha. He's Shimon's brother. We just don't know who's who. What happens next? Uba b'noshal zu. This son, Reuven, here, goes ahead and marries whom? V'nosa imishalza, he marries the mother of Shimon upon her husband's passing, of course. Perfectly legitimate, she's not related to him. And likewise, u'b'nashalzu nosa imishalza. Shimon goes ahead and marries Reuven's mother upon her husband's passing. Again, perfectly fine. And of course, omeser b'leibonim, Reuven and Shimon pass away with no children, leaving behind two women who are Yevamis. Yevamis falling to whom? To these two boys in the middle, the question marks, the mix-up. Now let's focus on one of these question marks at a time, one boy at a time. So he's facing two women here. Two Yevamis. One of whom is his own mother. One of whom is his brother's wife. Right? So he has to apply chalitza to both. So this question mark here will do chalitza to both women. And his counterpart, the other question mark, will also do chalitza to both women. Which case it turns out that every one of these boys will do chalitza to both women, one of whom is his very mother. So let's look at one boy at a time. Right, let's look at this question mark on the right. He's perhaps Reuven's brother. He's perhaps Shimon's brother. He's not sure. So now, when these two women come and are noifel liyibam, he doesn't know which one is his mother, and which one is just his brother's wife. So he has to do chalitza to both, one of which is certainly his mother. That's the first case. How do we have a fellow doing chalitza to a woman who may be, in fact, his sister? So again, we start with two couples. An ish v'isha have a son, Reuven. Certainly their son, no question about that. On the other side, another man and woman have a son, Shimon. Now, both these women, these mothers, married another Ish, another man. And each one of these women gave birth to a question mark, meaning they gave birth to a daughter. And the daughters got mixed up. So again, Imoy v'Ish Acheres, Reuven's mother, and the other Ish, Shimon's mother, married another man, after their husband's passing, of course, they married another man. They gave birth to two daughters. Each one had her own daughter, and they got mixed up. Unidentifiable. What happens next? So Reuben had another brother, a brother from his father's side. His father went and married another woman. So that brother, let's call him Levi, is now a half-brother. He's a brother who shares a father with Reuben. And likewise on the other side, Shimon has another brother from his father's side. Let's call him Yehuda. And those fellows, Levi and Yehuda, they married into this mix-up. Each one took one of these noshim, question marks. Of course, we don't know which one they took. I don't know which one was the actual Isha. Was it this one or that one? But they took one of the two. So ubo achein shaloi ma'isaim v'nosim. So Reuben's brother, Shimon's brother, a brother from a different mother, right? They only share a father. Went ahead and married into this mix, into this taroivus. Umeisu b'lebanim. Of course, they pass away, no children. So let's focus just on one side of the equation and we'll duplicate it to the other side. Reuben is now looking at two women, Levi's wife and Yehuda's wife, two potential Yevamis. One of which is perhaps his own sister, a sister with whom he shares a mother. So what is he meant to do? He will do chalitza to the isha of his brother Levi, who is perhaps his real Yevama, his brother's wife, or perhaps she's really an erva to him, because perhaps Levi had married Reuben's sister. So chalitza ishtein. Both will get chalitza, both women. Reuben will do chalitza to his brother Levi's wife, and Shimon will do chalitza to his brother Yehuda's wife, even though it's nimtza choletz lachoytim isafik. It can turn out that actually Reuven is doing chalitza to his own sister. Third case, libitoy misafik ketzat. How do you have a fellow doing chalitza to a woman who perhaps is his own daughter? This is relatively easy. Ke'ishtoy ishta acheres. So Reuven was married to an isha, and likewise Levi was married to an isha. Reuven's wife went into labor with Levi's wife. They gave birth to each one had a daughter, and they got mixed up. They're unidentifiable. And both these fathers, Reuven and Levi, each one had a brother. So Reuven's brother Shimon, and likewise Levi's brother Yehuda, but let's just focus on one side at a time. Reuven's brother Shimon married one of these Noshim of this mix-up. At worst case, it's his brother's daughter, right? Anis, she's mutter, it's not an erva. And the same thing happens on the other side. Yehuda marries one of these nashim, who perhaps is his brother Levi's daughter, his anis. Ubo achein, so the brothers came along, v'nasim married him. Umeishu b'lebanim, passed away without children. So now, let's take a look at Reuven. He sees two women standing there, two potential yevamis. Right? Now, since he's not sure who his brother married, maybe he actually married Reuven's own daughter. Maybe not. So he has to apply chalitza. Reuven will apply chalitza to his brother Shimon's wife, who perhaps is his own personal daughter, an erva. But since he's not sure, maybe it's not an erva, it's just a regular yevama, so he does chalitza. And likewise, on the other side, Levi will apply chalitza misafik to somebody who might actually be his own daughter. Tani will learn ten a price. Hayir Rab Meir Eimer. Rab Meir said like this: Ish v'isha. At times you can have one couple, an ish v'isha, pa'amim shemoylidin chamish umais. They can actually have offspring that relate to five different nations, so to speak. 65 to go. Ketzad, how? Yisrael shalakach eved v'shivcha menashuk. It starts with a Yisrael purchasing a nice couple, a good team, an eved and a shivcha goyim on the market. V'lehen shnei banim, who already have two sons they had prior to this purchase, they are considered goyim. Okay, so they already have goyim as descendants. That's number one. V'nisgair echad men. Now one of the goy children became a ger. Nimtza echad ger. V'echad eved kechav. So now in this family we have one boy who is still a goy, and one that became a ger. So we're holding him by two. Hitbilan l'shem avdus. This Yisrael boss sends the Ishva Isha, the Avadim, to the Mikvah l'shem avdus, to make them into Avadim. The Avadim of Yisrael, who need Tvila to inaugurate the Avdus. V'niske kuzil azeh, and they're involved with each other, and they have a child. What is this child? The son of a Eved Knani and Shifra Knanis. He belongs to the master. He's an Eved. So now we add another one to the list. Harekan ger, v'avid kechav, they already have a ger and a guy, he has children. And now we add the Eved. Next. Shichrer es ha-shifcha. The Yisrael boss lets the shifcha go, which makes her into a full-fledged Yisraelis, which allows him to marry her. Ubo aleh ha-eved. Now, the eved got involved with the shifcha, who is no longer a shifcha. She's a Yisraelis. This, of course, is inappropriate. And they had a child. What is the status of that child? A mamzer. So now we add a fourth to the list. Hareikan ger, v'ev kuchav be'eved, on top of the three that they already had, we add umamzer, number four. And finally, shichrer shneim. The Yisrael lets go the eved and the shifcha. So now the eved is a full-fledged bar Yisrael. He can marry a Yisraelis. And he made a shidduch between the eved turned Yisrael and the shifcha turned Yisraelis. They have a child, a perfect Jew. Harekan, so we have a total of five children in this family, each one with his own distinct identity. Harekan ger, v'evet kechav, v'evet, umamzer v'yisrael. Michael Mashman, what's the chiddush of this price? To tell you this point, that evet kechav, v'evet, abal bas yisrael, avad mamzer. If a guy and evet gets involved with the bas yisrael, child is a mamzer, and that's shitas ramir, which is not necessarily the universal versely accepted sheet. Turn her up on him. Here comes an interesting case. Yesh meicheres aviv. At times you can have a case where a child will actually sell his father lahagboyz ima ksuvasa to obtain funds to pay off his mother's ksuba claims. How's that? Keita, how? Yisrael lakach eved v'shifcha menashuk. Yisrael purchased an eved and a shifcha on the market. V'lehem ben, this couple already have a child, who's a guy, right? V'shichrer es ha-shifcha. And the Yisrael boss releases the shifcha. V'nasa, which allows the Yisrael to marry her. She's now a Yisraelis. V'amad v'kasav kol nochasav lubna. And this Yisrael husband, boss, goes ahead and commits in writing that all his properties, all his assets, belong to the child of his wife, who's actually a guy, right? Now, upon the Yisrael's passing, his wife claims the ksuba money. Who does she go to? Her son, the guy, who took possession of her husband's properties. Right? She's going to him to claim her ksuba. Now, amongst his possessions was that eved who he owned. And now when he gave everything to the son, the guy, he basically transferred everything, including the eved, who happens to be the guy's father. He transferred him to his ownership to the son. So now when mother comes to the son and says, "Can I have my ksuba?" Son says, "Sure, I have something very interesting I'm going to sell to obtain funds for your ksuba." My own father, the guy. Nimtza ze moicheres aviv. Lahag boys lima ksubasa. So you have a child selling his father, a guy, to obtain money for his mother's ksuba. Mike Mashbalan, what's the chiddush of this discussion? The chiddush is kulah Rabbi Meir. This brisa, as the previous one, is also Rav Meir. The chiddush is that va'avdu k'metatli. That even though the eved, the guy's father, the eved of the Yisrael, He moves around. He's metatal. He's not a permanent landmark. He's a mobile item. And still, you can use him for ksuba. Metatal, even something which is metatal, an item, an object, is mishtab de ksuba. Is something you can claim the ksuba from, which is a chiddush, which only Reb Meir holds. And that's the point of this price, to teach us this very halacha. Everybody say, my pshat is, no, we're going with shita's chachamim. Metatal and not included in the ksuba claims. That's not what she has in mind. She's banking on something real, real estate, right? Hokamash one, the chiddush here is, how could you take from the eved? Avdukim mekarki dam, which is the opposite. We treat an eved like something solid, like real estate. The Gemara elsewhere learns from a pasuk. Eved and property are equated, and therefore the Isha has her claim, has her lien on the Eved as well. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'isha shenis arev vlado vivlad kalos. You have an Isha, let's call her the grandmother. The Isha who had a daughter-in-law, a kala. Kala in the Lashon of Chazal, Lashon of Chumash, is a daughter-in-law. So mother and daughter-in-law went to the same hospital, and they're babies got mixed up. Ha'isha shenis arev velada bevlad chalasa. Higdilat harevis. This mix up, they grew up. V'nosu nashim ameisu, married women and passed away. Now, the Isha had her own sons, who were certainly her sons. Likewise, the kala, daughter-in-law, had her own other sons, who are perfectly identified as her sons. Now, let's just focus on one part of the equation. Of course, we duplicate it. So the Isha's son, let's call him Reuben, he's now faced with two Yevamis. Right? The wives of the mix-up are standing here, awaiting Gibel. He takes a look at both women. He says, look, I don't know exactly who you are. Maybe you're my brother's wife. Maybe you're my nephew's wife. Which is fine, because when we marry a niece, so what happens with Yibum? We try to cover all possibilities. Problem is that if we look on the other side of the picture, we have a problem, because the kala, the daughter-in-law, has her own sons. Now he looks at the group here. He looks at the two Yibumis as follows. I have two women here. One of which is my brother's wife. But the other one is problematic. She is my uncle's wife. Right? She's the wife of the son of my grandmother. So they can't do chalitza. Bnei Akala, the children of the Kala, of daughter-in-law, are stuck. Chotzen v'le miyaben, they apply chalitza to both of these women. Even though one of them is his brother's wife, but the other one is his uncle's wife. So only chalitza is an option. And the Mishnah explains, shu safek eshes achiv. Because we're dealing with an isha who's perhaps eshes achiv, which is fine, yevama, brother's wife, but maybe safek eshes achiv. Maybe she's actually the wife of my father's brother, my aunt. So here only chalitza works. But the other way, Bnei Askena, the children of the grandmother, they're okay, either way. Look, either she's my brother's wife, or she's my nephew's wife, which is fine. Bnei Askena, Eicholzen, Eimiyabin. Either or. Shesafik Eishes Achav. Either it's my sister-in-law, Veishes Ben Achav, or the wife of my nephew. Meisu Aksherim. Let's flip the equation around. The two boys who were mixed up are standing here, alive and well. The grandmother's son passed away without children. So I'm one of the mix-ups, right? I take a look at that wife and I say, look, maybe this is my brother's wife. Because I, too, am a child of the zakena, of the grandmother. Or perhaps, no, I'm a child of the daughter-in-law. So you're the wife of my uncle. Hataroivis, the boys who were mixed up, live near Askena, pertaining to the wives of the children of the grandmother. Chotzen of Lemi Yabin. Only Chalitza is an option, but not Yibam. Shu Safek Eshes Achav. Maybe she's my sister-in-law. Maybe she's the wife of my father's brother, an aunt. So Yibam is not an option. But in the reverse, it works. Levnei Akala, let's say, a son of the Kala passes away without children, leaves behind a wife. So now we have the boys who are the Taroivis. I take a look at that Isha. I say, look, either she's my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, or if I'm a generation higher, then she's my nephew's wife. That's fine. Levnei Akala, pertaining to the children of the daughter-in-law, Echad Cholitz, Echad Miyabim. So the Taroivis boys here, the mix-up, one of them will do Chalitza, and one of them Yibam. Right? He can do Yibam. Either way, either she's my Yivama, or even if she's not, she already got Chalitza from the other fellow, and I could do Yibam. I could just marry her, even if she's my niece. What about Kehenes? Shenes Arev V'lodo B'vlad Shevchasa. A Kehenes gave birth together in the same room as her maidservant. So we have two sons. Next up, one of which is a Kayan, one of which is an Eved of Kayan. Hara'elo Echlam B'Truma. Both are allowed to eat Truma. Kayan can eat, and the Eved of a Kayan can eat. But V'cholkin Chelik Echad B'Gurn, they only get one portion at the granary, which the Gemara will explain. V'enim Tamil Mason. Both boys can't become Tamil. One of them is a Kayan. V'edin Oysen Noshim. They can't marry at all. Ben Ksheris. Whether a regular Isha, because an Eved can't marry a regular Isha. Ben Psulis, they can't marry a Shivcha, because there's a Kayin here. Higdila Tarevis, let's say they grew up, Veshichru Zeze, and they, each one gave each other a get Shichru, a release from Abdus. I gave you, you gave me. So now we're no longer Avadim. So you have two people standing here, one of which is a Kayin, one of which is a regular Yisrael. So we need to deal with them accordingly. Noisim Nashim Aruyis Lakuna. They can both marry, but only women who are suitable for Kayin. Vedan Metamel Mason. They can't become Tami because of the Kayin mixed in. Vim Nitmu. If they did become Tami, you can't punish them. Einan Soifkin Arbaim. They don't get Malkus. Vedan Echlim Betruma. They can't have Truma because we have Yisrael here. Vim Achlu. If they ate, Einan Meshamlin Karen Mechamish. You can't penalize them. They can't obligate them to pay the Karen, the principal, and the fifth. Maybe it's a coin. And you don't give them truma at the farm. One of them is a Yisrael. Let's say they have their own truma, which they separate. They can sell it and keep the money. We don't give them any portion of the karbanis, even the leather of the karbanis. We don't give them kachim to be makrav. Suppose one of these fellows brings his own carbon to the Mikdash, which typically goes to the Mishmar, the rotating group of that week. But the halacha is that a Kohen can take his carbon and bring it himself, or give it to his friend, a Kohen. Here, you cannot force them to hand their carbonus over. They can choose any Kohen they wish to bring their carbon, because one of these fellows is really a kohen. Upturim, menazroya, menachayayi, menakeb, all the portions of a regular animal, which upon shechita is given to the kohen, they don't have to give it. There's no kedusha there, it's just a question of, financial claim. Well, they can hold on to it, because each fellow says, I'm a kohen. Ubchayran, what about their firstborn animals, which go to a kohen? In this case, you can't force it out. You let it pasture until it gets a blemish. And they keep it, right? When we apply to each one of these fellows, chumrei kayhanim, v'chumrei Yisrael, all the chumras of kayhanim in Yisrael, which the Gemara will explain. Back to the beginning of the Mishnah. You have some boys that were mixed up. The Taroivis. And you have Meisuak Shir. So the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law had their own, definite children. So if they passed away without children, so what do the mix do with them? The Gemara, the Mishnah explains. Now, it's just a question of terminology. Meisu ha-ksherim. We refer to the definite children, the identified children as ksherim, which insinuates that the mix-up are psulim. What's wrong with them? just can't identify them. There's nothing wrong with them. Elahanach Mashum de Irvlu, the other kids, just because they got mixed up and unidentifiable, how will Psulim be treated as Psulim? What's wrong with them? Amar Papa Yano, Eima Umesu Avadoin. Mishnah didn't mean, they're Ksherim, they're Psulim. Just means the Ksherim means that it's clear cut in terms of identity, as opposed to the other fellows who are unidentified. Levnei Akala, Echad Cholitz Vechad Miyab. So, one of the Kala's boys died without leaving behind children. So the Taroive's boys, I have no issue because, look, she's either my brother's wife or she's my nephew's wife. So one of these boys will do Chalitza, one of these boys will do Yivam, but only in that order. Dafke michlatz v'hadu Yivumi, Chalitza to start, and then the other fellow would follow with a Yivam. Aval Yivumi b'rei shalom, you can't start with Yivam because perhaps she's not really his Yivama. Dikapaga b'Yivama l'shuk. Perhaps he's going to be encountering Yivama, who needs Yivam, and he's doing an Isra of Yivama l'shuk. Ganeshin is Arev, over to this next halacha. The Kayin and the Eved got mixed up. When they go to the farm, they get one chelik. Chelik echad. Pshita, isn't that obvious? You have a master and a slave. Of course, it's only one portion. The slave is not entitled to his own. Eima chelik ke'echad. Mishnah means, you only give them if they're standing together. You never give the Eved his own portion. You don't, even if he's coming for his master, you don't give an Eved on his own. He has to be standing together with his rabbi, with his master, with his boss. And Rashi explains the reason is because people might view this as an indication that he's a miyuchas. They'll think, look, he's getting his own truma. He must not be an eved. He must be a certified miyuchas. And they'll make that mistake and marry him off to a regular isha. Not to think he's a kohen. Tanan, in fact, our Mishnah is a raya, command the Omar, like the Shita, that ain't cholken. Truma le'eved, Elohim kein rabbi imo. You never give a portion of truma to an eved unless his rabbi is standing there. The son, yes, we learned. Ein cholken truma le'eved, Elohim kein rabbi imo. We don't do that. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yisi disagrees. Rabbi Yisi, Omer, look. This fellow who's a Suffolk eved, Suffolk kohen, right, as the case in our Mishnah is, Yochel Shiyama, you can tell the farmer, look, on the chance that I'm a real kohen, I deserve my own truma. If I'm a slave of a kohen, okay, I'm still entitled. I'm taking from my master. Now, what's this machlekes dependent on? Rabbi Yehuda says we never give the eved truma unless his master is standing by. Rabbi Yehuda says you could. It hinges previously, discussed precept. It's really triggered by something else. B'mkoymish Rabbi Yehuda, because in the town of Rabbi Yehuda, they had a minik. Hayumalin mitruma liyachsin. You see a fellow taking truma at the farm. This was a stamp of approval. This would certify him as a miyuchas. And, people would think that he's a kohen. That's just the way people view things. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, make sure that you only give to a miyuchas. And that's exactly why we don't allow the Eved to get his own portion, because people mistake him as a kohen. Whereas b'mekomish Rabbi Yosi, they didn't conduct themselves this way. Just because a fellow took truma in the field, they would not necessarily consider that as a certification on his yichus. And therefore, there's no concern. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Elazar Tzadik, miyomai lo ya'andati ela edus achad. Throughout my entire lifetime, I never offered Eidos and Bezin only one time, and it got me into deep trouble. In fact, Vehelu Eved Lakuna Alpi, because of my testimony, they took an Eved and they treated him as a Kayan. Helu Sakataitach, you mean really? That's what happened? How could Hashem bring a takola, a pitfall through a tzaddik? Even an animal of a tzaddik is spared. Hashta Behemton Shal Tzaddikim. Even an animal of a tzaddik, like the story of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, the Gemara Chulin, right? He was offered food upon returning from a journey, and he was starving, but he wouldn't touch the food until they figured out that it was tevel, and he would only eat kosher foods. Even a behemoth of a tzaddik, maybe Tekal Al Yad Hashem would not bring a pitfall to them. Tzaddikim asma lekoshkin, of course, a tzaddik himself. How could he create confusion and takol? Ela ema, rather as follows: Bikshu, they were about to lahalos eved lekun al pi. And they were about to upgrade the Eved and treat him as a Kohen because of what I said. How did this come about? Like this. Chaza, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik saw what was going on ba'asrid Rabbi Yossi, in the town of Rabbi Yossi. He saw that this fellow was being served truma at the granary. He was allotted a portion of truma on his own. That's because in the town of Rabbi Yossi, they would not treat that as any sort of certifier, right? As we said, in the town of Rabbi Yossi, it wouldn't mean much that you give somebody truma. It could be an Evan and still get truma. So Rabbi Elazar took that information, va'ozel va'asid ba'asid Rabbi Yehuda. He came to the town of Yehuda, and upon discovering the Bezdin is discussing the yichas of a person, he says, oh yeah, this fellow, I saw that he was being allotted a portion of truma. Oh, now in the town of Rabbi Yehuda, this was considered a certification as to his yichas. Not realizing that in the town of Rabbi Yehuda, they spoke a different language. By them, it didn't mean much. Here it did. So it almost brought to a takal. They almost certified him as an Evid until they discovered, the discrepancy, and of course they canceled the certification. Tan Rabban, Asoro, the following 10 people, Ein Cholken Lem Truma Beis Akronis. They don't get their own portion of Truma in the Beis Akronis. Eloi, and who are these 10? Cheres, Shoite, Vekaten, Tumtum, Adreganus, Ve'Evid, Ve'Isha, Ve'Orel, a fellow who's a hemophiliac, a fellow who's married, a kohen who's married to an isha who's not suitable for him, a grusha. So although we don't give it to them outright, but in all cases, we deliver it to their homes, except for two, a person who's married inappropriately. Let's recap the braisa. I understand why you don't give the chelik of truma out in the field to the cheresh, the shayt of the cotton. It's not appropriate. Lavnei de'aninu, they don't have proper das. And as she says, it's a zilzal. It's inappropriate to take something like truma and give it to somebody who can't really care for it properly, etc. Tumtum adreganus nami. These fellows, tumtum, whose gender indicators are concealed. Adreganus, who's this combined gender fellow. There as well, bria b'fnei atzmeninu. They're considered a new type of unusual entity, and Rashi says it's a zilzal to give the kachem to this undefined, unusual looking fellow. Eved nami, there as well, as we said, dilma asei la'asuki mitruma liyachsen. You don't give it to the eved because people might misinterpret it as a certification to his kahuna status. They might think, okay, you're giving it to this a fellow, he must be a kohen. Or of a tummy, what's wrong with those two? Mishum de meisi. Because of the miyus, he's an aral, he's a tummy. No, he's the isha shen against lay. What about him? Mishim knosa. What are you doing marrying this woman? So all these we understand. But the isha, what's wrong with the isha? Elisha, my time, Allah, why don't we give her the truma out in the field? We have two reasons. Pligiba, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, but Rav Shua, machokes between these two. Chadam, I want to explain, Mishim grusha. We're concerned that perhaps overnight she got divorced from the kain. So now we shouldn't be giving her truma. The other one says, Mishum Yichud, we're concerned about the men out in the field, which might create an uncomfortable situation. We don't allow the Isha to come out to the field. Might be now. Is there a difference between these two Pshatim? Sure. It could be now. The difference is, Beidar, you have a granary, which on the one hand is the Mekar V'lamasa, right near the city, in which case you would have heard if she was divorced from the Kohen. You know that nothing happened last 24 hours. You assume she's still married to a Kohen, she's entitled to Truma. So that concern would not apply, but still the Yichud would apply because v'leshchichi be'inchi, there are no people there, it's an unpopulated area, and Yichud is applicable. Inami, another nafkamina, the other way around. The merachak, the beidari is, the granary is at a distance from the city, in which case the news of her divorce perhaps did not travel out there. So that concern is still prevalent. V'leshchichi be'inchi, but people are milling around. There's no yichud situation. So on account of one of these two reasons, we don't encourage the isha to come out. We don't give her portion of truma. The braisa continues. V'chulon mishaglem lebatim. In all these cases, we can deliver to their homes. As long as it's not in public, so you're sparing the zilzal of the truma, you can give it to them privately. except for two people, chutz metami, v'noise isha shein, again, aslai, these two people. Aval oral meshagrin alei, but the oral can receive the delivery of truma at home. I thought the oral and the tummy are both based on mios, so why do we differentiate? The tummy will not get, and the oral will get. Aval oral meshagrin alei, by the oral we send it, we deliver it to his home. My time of why mishum the honest? It's not his fault. It's hereditary. He's a hemophiliac. It's not something by choice. Well, tummy nami ha'anis. This fellow who's tummy, he didn't ask for it. So why is he held accountable? Says the Gemara, still high nafesh einsei. The aral is a real legitimate einis. V'haylei nafesh einsei, but the tummy, although it's an einis, but you know, it's not as great an einis as the aral. He could have perhaps exercised a bit better care to avoid tuma. Therefore, we don't give him this privilege. We don't even deliver the tuma to his house. Okay, so what did we learn in today's daf? We started with a case where a fellow will apply chalitza to his mother, perhaps his sister or his daughter, because of this confusing situation. Rameh tells us, within one family, one couple could give birth to five nations, so to speak. The ger, the eved, the mamzer, the Yisrael, and okay. We have the story with the son selling his father to pay off his mother's ksuba. Two ways to learn that. Either the Eved is Matatl or the Eved is Karka. We had the case of the Isha and the daughter-in-law mixing up their kids and the ensuing confusion in terms of Yibum, the Kayin, and the Eved got mixed up. We had the discussion regarding whether or not we use the allotment of Truma as an indicator, as a certification of Yichus. And we conclude with the Braisa, which presents a list of 10 individuals to whom we do not provide truma in the Beis Agronis, but for the most part, they can be delivered to their homes. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.